In this video, I'd like to comment on the two types of prophecy and knowledge, the two witnesses and new prophecy, apostles, prophets and unity, today's prophets, Romans 8:26 and the Spirit interceding for us, and the work of the Holy Spirit. Starting with the two types of prophecy, firstly, there is foretelling prophecy, which is prophecy about future events. The book of Revelation is a good example of future prophecy, which God gave to John to be written into the Bible. God ceased giving future prophecy when the book of Revelation was written, and warns us in Revelation 22:18-19 not to add anything to it. Secondly, there is foretelling prophecy, which is explaining the scriptures by preaching and teaching out of the Bible, and this of course continues today. The prophesying spoken about in 1 Corinthians 14 is clearly referring to preaching. This is confirmed in 1 Corinthians 14:24 and 25, where it says, "If an unbeliever or someone who does not understand comes in while everybody is prophesying, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare. So he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, 'God is really among you.'" We can see that this prophesying has nothing to do with future prophecy, but is preaching to bring sinners to repentance. So there is future prophecy, which has been written into the Bible, and preaching and teaching prophecy, which comes out of the Bible. Regarding the cessation of knowledge, this is not referring to our personal knowledge, because that will never cease. The knowledge that has ceased is the supernatural knowledge which came from God and was written into the Bible. This includes knowledge such as God's salvation plan, how to live a Christian life, how to run a church, and His will, etc. There is no need for further supernatural knowledge from God, as the Bible already contains all we need. However, we all need to study the Bible and grow in our personal knowledge as we are given understanding by the Holy Spirit. The cessation of supernatural prophecy and knowledge doesn't mean that God does not talk to us today. In fact, He witnesses to all believers through the Holy Spirit, and if we don't listen to and follow His voice, then we are not one of His disciples. Regarding the two witnesses of Revelation 11, in verse 3, Jesus refers to them as my witnesses, just as He refers to us as His witnesses in Acts 1:8. So it is quite obvious that they will be preaching the gospel and witnessing about Jesus. They will be enormously powerful and will be preaching to the Jews and to the entire world right in the heart of Israel. This will not be new prophecy, but simply prophesying out of the Word and giving their testimony about Jesus in order to bring Israel and the Gentile world to repentance. Revelation 22:18-19 forbid anyone, including the two witnesses, from adding to or taking away from the book of Revelation. However, there is future prophecy which has been given by God but has not yet been revealed to mankind. This is the prophecy which John heard when the seven thunders spoke in Revelation 10, and he was told to seal it up. It will most likely be revealed during the last days, and perhaps the two witnesses will be the ones to reveal it. But this does not change the fact that God ceased giving new prophecy when the Bible was completed, because the prophecy contained in the seven thunders was given before Revelation was completed. In any case, the two witnesses cannot bring new prophecy because, as already stated, Revelation 22:18-19 forbid everyone from adding to the book of Revelation. Regarding apostles, prophets and unity, Ephesians 4:11-13 say, "It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature." The King James says, "unto a perfect man." These verses tell us that the early church had apostles, prophets and others to train God's people until they reached unity and became mature in the faith. The early church became united and mature under the leadership of the apostles and prophets, as God had inspired these men with the knowledge to start up and oversee the church, and they passed this information on to us in letters which eventually brought the Bible to completion. Once the Bible was completed, apostles and prophets were no longer needed, as the Bible then contained all the knowledge that God had inspired them with. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tell us, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The King James says that the man of God may be perfect. So the early church needed the apostles and prophets to perfect them because they lacked the completed New Testament. But after that time, the perfecting of the saints came through the Bible, as it says in the verses just quoted. Some people say that we have prophets with us today, and that they don't have to get it right all the time, because the King James says, "Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail." They say that the word "fail" means that modern prophets can sometimes get it wrong, so it's okay to give false prophecy now and then. However, the Greek word translated "fail" in the King James does not mean to get it wrong, but means to cease or vanish away. So the condemnation of false prophets in Deuteronomy 18:20-22 still applies to those who get it wrong today. Regarding the groans of Romans 8:26, this verse is thought to be talking about speaking in tongues, where it says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express." The simple fact that the groans cannot be expressed in words makes it plain that it is not talking about tongues, as speaking in tongues is an expression in words. Also, the Greek word that is interpreted groans appears in only one other place, and that is in Acts 7:34, where God said that He had heard the groaning of the Israelites in Egypt and came to set them free. Groaning is groaning, not speaking in tongues. In Romans 8:26, it simply refers to the groaning of someone in agony of prayer. Finally, regarding the work of the Holy Spirit, it's very common today for people to seek the Holy Spirit to bring glory to themselves through signs and wonders. The fact is, the Spirit's main work in our lives is to reveal our wicked hearts and convict us of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, as it says in John 16:8. The guilt of sin leads us to repent, and this results in holiness and enables us to walk as Jesus did, just as 1 John 2:6 commands us. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and belief in the truth." Note that this verse says that we are saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. So our salvation depends on our ongoing response to the Holy Spirit. God does not magically sanctify us. Sanctification is cleansing from sin, and it only comes through heartfelt repentance whenever the Spirit convicts us. 1 John 1:9 sums it up in saying, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." The process of sanctification is: the Spirit convicts, we confess, the Spirit cleanses. John 16:13 to 14 tell us that the Spirit will also lead us in all truth and bring glory to Jesus. The Lord is glorified when we live sanctified lives and love one another, so showing that we are His disciples. There is a free little book called The Calvary Road, which clearly and simply shows believers how to hear and follow the Lord's voice. The Lord speaks to all believers all of the time, but we are generally as deaf as posts to His voice. If you are hungry for righteousness, then this book will teach you how to recognize the witness of the Spirit, leading you to abide in the vine and to yield your life to God by daily dying to sin and self, just as Paul said he did in 1 Corinthians 15:31. We can have a moment-by-moment relationship with the Lord because He dwells within us and constantly calls on us to rely upon Him in thought, word, and deed. The Calvary Road can be downloaded from the link on your screen. May the Lord bless you beyond measure as you seek to abide in Him. Amen.